I'll do a quick introduction. Jeff Brown, I can look at that. I'll read my introduction. So I'm an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School. It's Department of Population Medicine. So that's the stuff I do, the population health kinds of kinds of stuff that Ralph was talking about. That's my daily kind of activity. What I'll be trying to describe is really an approach we've taken to using a routinely collected healthcare information. It doesn't really matter what kind of healthcare information. It's a generic approach to using it that's information that's held in multiple institutions, and how do you do that without creating a huge, big central database. So that's really the approach that I'll go through. I don't have anything to disclose. So I'm here talking about secondary use. So it's not patient care. This is not an HIE. I don't have a sick patient in front of me. This is public health surveillance. Is there a flu outbreak? This could be medical product safety. I do a lot of work for FDA, and I do a lot of medical product safety work. Could be comparative effectiveness research, but it's not patient care. And then, if that's the use, how do you facilitate the creation of these networks of institutions with data? So why bother? If you can do all the work with the information you have in a single source, do it. The reality is there's really not enough sources that are big enough to do the work we need to do. So how does that happen? That's rare events, rare outcomes, rare treatments. So if you think medical product safety, I've had a very long week, then you need to have big numbers to look at treatments that aren't used a lot or very rare outcomes. Accumulating information very quickly is another reason you go to multiple sources. Subgroups, looking at care within a region or across institutions, you need to, thanks moderator. You need to get information from these different institutions. And the institutions don't really matter. I work for a health insurance company, so I think about institutions being places like health insurers, but it could be medical group practices, it could be hospitals, it doesn't quite matter. But if you're going to do that, you have to figure out how do you get at the information and analyze it across all these institutions. And more importantly, I think this is why I have this bolded, you really have to deal with all of the little intricacies of the individual institutions. There's state law, there's federal law, there's social kind of problems that, kind of social norms at these institutions, whether they like to share information or they don't, do they want to or not. Legal privacy, proprietary concerns. You know, they're willing to share it, but sharing that information is going to cause the legal department to have a fit because of proprietary issues. So you have to deal with all of that if you're going to try to use data from multiple institutions. These are some questions that the bottom citation actually has answers to all the questions, so I won't go through all these, and you can contact me to find this thing. But if you're going to create some network, some group of institutions, and you need to use their data for something, you have to figure out what do you need it to do, what data do you need to meet that goal, where are the data going to be stored, and I'll hit that in a second, how do you analyze it, and then there's a, kind of a technical piece of how does it really work. It's an interoperability question at the bottom that the country hasn't solved. So here's two ways of doing it. You could create a huge central data warehouse. Everyone just sends their data to whoever happens to be that wants to run this. The federal government is trying to create some of these. State governments are doing this. Be aware, I'm not a big believer or supporter. I'll just say that up front. I think it's a huge mistake. But we're doing it. I'm not doing it. Someone else is doing it. The other approach is a little red of my firewalls. Where the people who collected the data and are responsible for holding it, or really responsible for protecting it, keep it behind their firewalls. And instead of sending data, what happens is someone sends the question. So here I say send a request. It could be a query. Just think send question to the data, and the response is an answer, not your entire medical record. You don't really want your health insurer or your doc sending an entire medical record to someone if all you really need to know is the rate of asthma in New Hampshire. They don't need your medical record to do that. They need a numerator and a denominator. and that's it. So that's this idea of sending questions and getting information back and not sending data. So why, I think there's actually there's a whole lot of reasons why you would want to leave the data out at the nodes and send it questions. I think the public would be happier knowing that there wasn't some big data warehouse with all of their information. There's HIPAA privacy issues with that and whether the federal government or state governments are actually responsible under those guidelines. I'm not sure. I really don't think they are. The usefulness of the data is really one I highlight. It's as soon as you move the data from the people who collected it, I think you lose the value of it because you lose your understanding of that information. If someone sent me a bunch of information, I could do research all day and it would probably all be wrong. And I would have no idea because I didn't understand the context that the data were collected. So there'll be things that are missing and I don't know why they're missing. There'll be non-random missingness, but I'll have no idea because I don't know who collected it. It's another reason to keep it out at the node. Willingness to participate if many places won't send you the information. And actually, the governance ends up being a little bit easier because I don't have to have an overarching governance rule for how to handle some big data warehouse. The partners get to implement their own rules, and it's an opt-in kind of approach. So they could just say no if they need to say no. If you're asking a question that cannot be answered in Pennsylvania because it has something to do with mental health, you just don't answer it. They don't answer it. They're responsible because they are based in Pennsylvania. You know, those kinds of things. You just let them handle it instead of trying to figure out, have a bunch of lawyers figure it out because they'll never figure it out. It won't happen. So now I'm going to quickly transition to the software. So we developed PubMedNet.org as the website. So we developed software to facilitate the creation of these networks. So there's a lot of information there. We published a couple places about these distributed health data networks. These citations are on the website. So how do you do it? So our approach has been to standardize the data. So there's data sitting out at a bunch of places, wherever they happen to be. They standardize it. So you have to think about how to standardize that. Then you send the query. They execute it locally, and then they return the result. And the result could be a single number. But you'd rather them return a single number than everyone's medical history, so you can figure out what that single number is. So what does it do? You're leading the powers with the data partners, and that's what in my experience in working with health plans. So I deal mostly with health insurance companies. They want the power. They don't really want to share, just send you big claims warehouses, and they shouldn't. You should be happy that they don't do that. My little thumb drive is encrypted. Because I work at Harvard Pilgrim, and I can't move information onto this without being encrypted, which caused trouble getting this slide presentation up, right? But that's the way it works. And it focuses on what the data partners do well. They can manipulate their data locally. They know it. They can move it all around. They can change it. They can turn it on its side. That's not hard. Sending it to someone is more of a problem for them. So this is the nicer picture. This is, I work with an IT vendor, so you'll see my cartoon picture next. But this one's the prettier version. So this is how the software is really working. And this is an operational piece of software that we're using for a very large FDA project called the FDA Mini Sentinel Project that we're the coordinating center for. So think on the left is someone, I'll use public health as the example. On the left is some public health, the Department of Public Health in Massachusetts. We're also working with them. They have a question. They log into this secure portal, and they pose the question. Let's not worry about how, but you can do it. You pose the question in the portal, and basically you send the question out to whoever is part of the network, this particular network. The nodes, the people who have the data, pull in the question. They can execute that question. They answer it, basically, and then they send back the answer to the portal, and then that Department of Public Health investigator can then log back in, might be a day later, a week later. Right now it takes a year to get the information. A week's not so bad. And then you can get the answer and kind of go on your way. And it's working. So here's my cartoon. The point here is really the architecture is it doesn't push anything through a partner's firewall because they all refuse that. So it didn't matter if I said, I'm going to show up with $1 million IBM server and install it behind your firewall. I'm going to send that server queries. It's just going to run, and it'll send it back. You don't have to do anything. They all laughed. I mean, my partners laughed at me and said, I couldn't do that. There's no way I'll do that. So what you're really doing is they're pulling the question into their firewall. They execute it. They follow their own workflow. At Harvard Pilgrim, if you touch patient-level data, no matter, even if the answer to the query is 72, it goes to our privacy officer before it leaves the building. It's just the way it works. That's fine. Do whatever you have to do behind your firewall, then push it back out. There's my little firewalls. And then go along your way. So who's using the software now? We've got five kind of active projects, three funded by ARC, which are really comparative effectiveness studies. The FDA Mini Sentinel is the most active user right now. We've got 17 data partners. With this software installed, we have a secure system using it. We've sent over 100 queries. We've got a total of more than 100 million covered lives in that network. I've got Aetna. Aetna helps that, right? Aetna and WellPoint are big partners, and then a bunch of Kaisers in there. But we've got 17. It'll be 18 soon. Because I'm at the coordinating center, what will happen is FDA basically gives us a call and says, I want to know this. We can execute a query, we send it out, and we get the answer back. And we, depending on what we're doing and how we're doing it, can take 2 days, depending on what kind of query we're doing. The 2 days is a required response time for some of our queries. The ONC one I'll mention at the end is a public health surveillance system that we're trying to build in Massachusetts to give the Mass Department of Public Health a place to log in and query and say, you know, what's the rate of influenza-like illness last week? And they just kind of every Monday you get a report. And because, again, you don't need everyone's medical record. You just need to know the count. So that's how we're building this for them. So these are actually my Mini Sentinel partners. And this is really what it looks like. There's a portal. It's somewhere. You can log in. You send the queries out. And the answers come back. So you see a lot of Kaisers and some small places and then some pretty big places. The Mini Sentinel information is at minisentinel.org. It's a very large distributed research network, and actually I shouldn't say research. It's a very large distributed public health surveillance network because it's not research; it's public health surveillance. So it's clear. So there's actually no IRB for any of that because we're not doing research, so there isn't a need for an IRB. And I'll leave you with that. This is something I took from our department chair, but I think it makes the point. We spend a lot of time sharing. Figure out ways to share the information and not the data. It's a little bit harder, but I'm arguing it's the right thing to do. And